Welcome to the weekly podcast all about turning the great American RV adventure into stress-less camping. Each week, we explore tips, tricks, ideas, and destinations, and talk to the happiest campers in the RV world. Pull up a seat at the campfire as we enjoy some stress-less camping.
Welcome to the campfire.
I'm Tony.
I'm Peggy.
And we are two RV industry veterans who travel part-time
in a small trailer,
looking to share big adventures and help you with great tips,
tricks,
and discounts. If you are on the YouTubes or almost any social media, all of a sudden lately there has been a huge amount of discussion and videos and complaints about what is called frame flex. And it appears that it's predominantly larger fifth wheels, and it's not just flex, it's failure.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's not good at all. We don't have an answer. We have been to the Lippert Frame Factory, and quite honestly, we're very impressed with the operation. We have been to a number of RV manufacturers, and some of the videos, and we will include a link to the ones we really liked, it seems to come down to especially large fifth wheels that are just coming apart. And I wonder if those fifth wheels are overloaded, because our trailer, we got it weighed and it was way overloaded.
Yeah.
And I think that's exceptionally common. And imagine if you have all the space that you have in some of these gigantic fifth wheels and how much just stuff you can put in them.
In our defense, when we waited and it was overloaded, it was when we were quote unquote homeless and we had more things than we normally, we knew we had too much stuff, but it was stuff that we were waiting for a home to put away.
Okay, that's true. And the truck was ridiculously overloaded too.
Yeah.
But I think this goes back to, and we'll put a link to our episode about having your RV scaled or weighed. And if you're going to something like an FMCA rally or other things where there's somebody there who will weigh your RV, oh, do it. Absolutely. It may be quite shocking. There was a dude who was getting his RV weighed at, you know, basically in line with us.
Right.
And what was it, like 10,000 pounds overweight or
something?
Crazy overweight. And that's just, I mean, that is a failure waiting to happen. So,
and just so that you don't think that he was camping with that much, it was a vendor and he had vendor product.
Yeah, he had a triple axle box trailer that was full of product.
Behind a Class A.
Right.
But still, you need to know these things. Just because a Class A is big and heavy and can carry a lot or haul a lot doesn't mean it's unlimited.
Absolutely. So have your trailer scaled. We have ways to do that. We'll share that in the show notes. Be careful out there, y'all.
Well, now that our trailer is not overloaded, well, right now it's kind of empty because we're prepping for our next big trip and the trailer's sitting out in the yard waiting and waiting for us to bring a bunch of stuff in. But you know what else it's waiting with is power.
Yeah.
So we can start hauling things out to the fridge right now if we wanted to.
Because we have our solar and lithium system, honestly, we don't turn off the fridge in the RV. It's a 12-volt Dometic fridge that we really, really like. And honestly, it's kind of like the spare fridge from our house.
It really is.
So we just keep it running. And that's another neat thing about these 12-volt fridges. There are no issues shuttling down the street with the fridge running.
Right.
Now, I want to get into whether you should or shouldn't with a propane fridge, but these 12-volt fridges are good. And the way we keep it running is we just have our solar and lithium system from ABC Upfitters. It's a great MasterVolt system that is not something we have to worry about. It's just ready to go.
Yeah.
So if you're solar or lithium curious, people at ABC Upfitters know what they're talking about. They're honest. They are nerds, but they can speak normal. You can give them a call at 574-333-3225. Again, 574-333-3225. Or, of course, you can find them on the internet or through a link in our show notes. So give them a call. They're really good people.
As Tony said, our guest today is Dustin Simpson. Our trailer's sitting out in our yard, fortunately, so we can kind of keep an eye on it. But if your trailer's in storage or your RV's in storage and you're going to be getting ready for the upcoming season, we thought maybe Dustin could give us some pointers on the things to look for before you go out there and find a problem. You want to check and make sure there aren't any.
So, without any further ado, here's our friend from CalRV Specialist, Dustin Simpson. We are here with our friend Dustin Simpson from CalRV Specialist. Dustin has been here before and really knows his way around RVs. And so we thought we'd talk to him about what you should do now that it's kind of the start of getting out RV season. Welcome, Dustin.
Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure,
man. Good to see you guys.
The good thing about talking to Dustin, he and I can nerd out on RV stuff for a good long period of time. So Peggy has quite the editing job ahead of her.
I'll try to stay on track this
time,
Peggy.
If we have too much to say, we'll make it two episodes.
Hey,
that's okay.
There you go. Continued next week. We were talking about now some people are taking their RVs out of winter storage or just kind of planning to start using them again. And we're talking to you about the kinds of things they might do before they officially go camping.
Yeah. It kind of depends on the consumer, you know, the RV that they have. So we'll probably go in a few different directions, but there's some generalized stuff that I would tell anybody, as well as, you know, let's say you're in my area. So in my area, we're not dealing with the snow or freezing temperatures.
Right.
So we can go back and forth and touch on both sides of it. And then, of course, towable versus motorized.
Right. There's going to be a lot of differences there, too. Yeah. Yep.
Although you're not that far from Truckee. Man,
that's
talk
true.
About snow.
Snow there.
Exactly. So occasionally we do get somebody that comes in and says, hey, Dustin, we want you to, you know, de-winterize the coach. And typically when they're winterized, we find that, you know, the owners have you know, watch their YouTube channel or somebody's kind of coached them along the way to add some antifreeze to their system.
Mm-hmm.
So typically what we would do is we would, you know, advise you to go ahead and like find your low point drain on your coach, drain all that fluid out of there. They make all kinds of different flushes or air pressure flushes that could go through like your city water fill connection. And that gives you the ability to go ahead and either rinse out the system or you can blow it out by air, either one. But both of them are, you know, I would recommend using both of them. But that's just kind of my little topic on the de-winterization of the antifreeze system. The rest of it's kind of common stuff that's everyday, but there are things that we should think about, people that they might not consider, or just little tips and advice that I have to give.
Yeah, that's good. So a lot of people think, oh, when I winterize, I put in the pink stuff. And when I de-winterize, I take out the pink stuff and I'm ready to camp.
And I'm ready to go.
And that's great. But, you know, maybe it's time for that annual maintenance checklist that you haven't done for a year.
Exactly.
Something I've seen a lot of people forget as they de-winterize is the water heater bypass.
Right.
And they'll leave the bypass on and they're like, why am I not getting any hot water? So just exactly. If you have, and we have a checklist of winterizing and de-winterizing, go over that checklist a couple of times just to be sure of, you know, things you didn't miss, because it could be frustrating, it could be funny, or it could actually damage your RV if you run that water heater on electric with no water in it.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, but I think we'd like to go beyond the plumbing part and just talk about all those other things that maybe we don't all think of.
Some of the other things that you could consider is, you know, whether you, you know, have it parked inside in an inside storage or a garage, or let's say it's just outside exposed to the weather, whether you're using an RV cover or not, each one of those situations, they all call for a different scenario. So I'd say let's talk about if you have a cover on there. So, hey, I've covered it for the last few months, whether it was rain or snow or just, you know, trying to keep the sun beating off of it. Whenever you go to unbag or remove that cover, that's your time to be up there on the roof checking, you know, to make sure at the time, you know, is there any damage to my vents, to my skylights, to my sealants? So even though you have an RV cover on it, you know, you're still subject to wind. You're still subject to if it's snowing, you know, if a bird fell and hit it or ran into it, or if an animal jumped on it for some reason, you know, squirrel, a rat, a mouse. So there's a lot of things that you want to think about. Just because you have a cover on it doesn't necessarily mean that it's protected for you for the downtime or that winter season.
Hmm. And I've seen where some of these covers can actually cause damage themselves.
Yeah. Usually what we'll see is we'll see that the cover has shifted and made rub marks on the roof or the body. It can actually rub through the rubber membrane. So if it's a TPO or rubber roof, it can actually cut into it and cause damage to the roof itself. The other thing is that it will, you know, typically damage their rain gutters if it's, you know, moving around in the wind. It causes mold because think of it as you're putting on a sweatshirt. Well, if you're still doing something and you're getting hot and sweaty, you know, underneath the sweatshirt, that's still doing something similar on the RV. It's actually causing a difference in temperature between the surface of the roof and the surface of that cover. So now you have a situation where you're going to start growing mold on the roof, on the sealants, embedding into the plastics and so on.
Mm. Yikes.
Well, I had never thought of that.
I'm glad we don't cover.
Yeah. Well, we just keep using ours.
We just keep using.
Yeah. In my area, you know, I've been doing this now 25 years. And for my particular area, kind of central Northern California, I, for the most part, steer people away from buying an RV cover.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and it's for a bunch of personal reasons. I've had too many owners that are friends or family have fallen and got hurt just installing those covers, taking them off and on.
Oh, right.
And, you know, slipping off a ladder or, you know, stepping through a skylight. I mean, you know, you're up there flapping it around like if you're making a big bed, you know, so it's kind of difficult.
That's a good point. So once we have the cover off, what else should we be looking at?
Do a thorough inspection of the overall unit. You know, check out your roof, check out your sealants, make sure all your vent lids open and close, because, you know, they were sitting there stored up for so long during that winter months, the condensation and humidity change can actually cause those vent lids to get stuck in the closed position, where you might have to have somebody go inside, try to operate it, whether it was manual or electric, and give that lid a little lift to help break it free.
Right.
It basically, it'll stick on the seal. With the body, same thing. You know, I mean, whether you're, you know, going in and out of it, or you're living in it full time, you know, or you're even going in and out of it just to check on it throughout that winter season, things flex and move and creak and shift. And so check out all the sealants, you know, on your windows and your compartment doors and your moldings. Make sure nothing has separated or come loose.
I think in New Mexico, you don't even have to go in and out of it. Just the wind blowing causes that much flex.
Yeah, there were some 90-mile-an-hour winds here, which is nuts.
That brings me up to your awnings next, right? So, you know, let's say it's closed and the unit's not under a cover. It's not in inside storage. It's just outside exposed to the elements. Well, every time it rains, you're going to get water inside that awning. You know, so opening and closing the awning, you know, more than likely, you know, I can't tell you how many times even myself, I've took my own units to go camping and forgot to pull out the awning. So when I did, you know, a ton of water came out, you open it up, it's all moldy and nasty. And you go, oh, geez, honey, let's close that. You know, I want the guy next to me looking at me going, well, how come you're not taking care of your coach, kid?
Well, at least you and I don't have to worry about getting our hair messed up by water.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, other things to think about, slide out operation, you know, so whether, again, if it's in the open or closed position, once you go to initially inspect that unit, that's your time to cycle those rooms in and out, make sure everything's opening and closing good. Again, make sure no, you know, varmints or mice or anything crawled through a slide out, you know, and got inside a squirrel or somebody wanted to keep warm.
Yeah.
The last time we had you on, that was what we talked about, was slide maintenance. So if people have slides, y'all should go back and listen to that previous podcast also, and make sure that your slides are in really good shape.
Even with the slide outs, there's enough you know, now with the site outs, as far as they've advanced so much, you know, we have refrigerators in them and stoves and water pipes and conduit and all kinds of stuff that flex in and out. So what we don't think about is there is openings underneath, you know, a fifth wheel, a travel trailer, or a motorhome, where a rodent can crawl through those areas and get in there inside your coach.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily see them because they're hidden underneath that slide out room, but there's still enough room to let a small little varmint get through there.
Yeah, those things are, they'll find the littlest spot and they can weasel their way right in.
Sure will. And can cause a ton of damage, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing I'm always encouraging is batteries. You know, again, whether it's set for like the winter or even a long period of time, cycling your batteries. It's so important to know what type of batteries you have, what size of batteries you have. And then, you know, if they're a wet cell battery, if it's a, you know, a glass matted battery, AGM, if it's a lithium battery, how to properly maintain those, you know? So it's, I refer to it as, I give an example to my ladies. I say, you know, hey, we've all made a pot of macaroni and cheese. And if it's boiling on the stove and you don't go over once in a while and stir it, what happens? The noodles stick and burn at the bottom.
Yeah. Yep.
So the same thing kind of happens to the wet cell batteries. If you're not charging and discharging them, if you're not checking the water level in them, it'll actually cause damage to the plates in the battery. The technical term is sulfation. You know, they basically think of it as the acid and the water separating. It's now eating those plates. So, you know, checking the water level on your batteries, the connections before you really get into that coach after it's been parked, before you go to do anything, because the batteries are the lifeline of that unit.
Yeah.
And some people I know, especially with the flooded or lead acid batteries, will have taken them inside somewhere and put them on a trickle charger. But not everybody. I mean, I've seen a few pictures recently on social media of exploded batteries.
And something to remember, even if you take your lead acid batteries inside and trickle charge them, you still have to check that water. I've seen a lot of people say, well, I don't understand why my battery is no good. I've always had it on a charger. I've always had it at a campground. That's actually not the best way.
Yeah,
it's not. So to top on that, 50% of our customers live in them full time. When we get that phone call that says, hey, Dustin, everything's dead. You know, nothing's working. You know, when was the last time you checked your water and your batteries?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would sell a lot of RVs to people who did that, who lived in them full time. And we'd say, probably see you back here in a year or two for a battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if they, you know, if they're hearing this podcast and they understand something as simple as unplugging the coach once a month, pretending like you're dry camping, running the batteries down for 3 or 4 hours, and then plug it back in to charge them up. Think of it as like waking up in the morning and stretching.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You're operating or cycling them. You're out there running them and training them to remove the charge and then to recharge. If they're always topped off, they tend to want to dump. They're not ever getting drained down. So it actually is cooking the battery, which draws down the water. And then at that point, the converter in the coach just simply says, hey, I'm hungry. You know, it says, oh, the battery's hungry. Let's feed it. So when it goes to boost mode and, you know, depending on the voltage of it, you know, 13.6 to depending on if it's lithium, 14, you know, 14.6, 14.2, it will now start to overcharge that battery, damage it. And then not only do they ruin the battery, but they're also ruining the converter. They'll burn up the high side on the converter.
Now you're starting to talk money.
Yeah. You know, so that's why batteries is so important. Going down the line, once you know your batteries are good, get inside your unit, open everything up, turn everything on, make sure your propane is, you know, full, keeping both tanks on if you have two tanks, cycling from one side to the other to make sure that the regulator is functioning for either tank is a good thing to do. Go in and light off your stove, you know, to bleed the system. Operate all of your appliances on both the propane and on the 110 side if it's, you know, two-sided. Make sure that they're working before you plan on taking that trip. Another thing I would recommend to you is check out your LP detector, your CO detector, your smoke detector. Now, you know, most smoke detectors are usually good for 10 years. Some of them are hardwired nowadays. Some mm-hmm. of them have their lithium battery in them. So they're 10 year, you know, they'll last for 10 years. But your CO detector and your LP detector, sometimes those are separate and those are usually hardwired and are operating off of that 12 volt battery, or they're a dual purpose. On those detectors, there is an expiration date. They're typically only good for 5 years.
Right.
And that date's either written on the front or stamped on a sticker on the back that says replace me by, you know, so just something else to think about.
Yeah. Those LP detectors are important because you can go to sleep and be dreaming of great things and then you wake up dead.
That's true. You not wake up.
Yeah.
Why does it look so nice here?
Yeah. Or why is it so hot? There's all these flames.
I'm young and I'm in shape and I feel great. But you're right. I've seen that happen in my time of doing RV repair. I've also had a local upholstery shop blow him and his son almost out of a coach because of a propane leak.
Really?
Oh, wow. Gosh.
Woke up in the middle of the night and lit a cigarette and poof.
Oh, boy.
Like dropping a cherry bomb in a toilet. Just,
oh, man.
All four sides and the roof and the windows burned them and everything. So,
wow.
The reason that those propane detectors to me are so important is, you know, they put them low on the ground because propane is 10 times heavier than oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you develop a leak, you know, in a slide out that's going in and out, or just from shaking or jarring down the road, something does come loose. That's what that guy is designed for, is to say, hey, there's a problem. Now, we've all gone in our coaches at one time or another and heard that beep, beep, beep.
No, you're not till like 3 a.m.
Yeah. That comes back to the whole hay battery issue, right? If the battery is below 12 volts, that sensor is going to warn you that, hey, I don't have sufficient amount of voltage to keep it running. It's there to tattletale and say, hey, go check your battery, silly.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's the second battery detector.
Exactly. I think I talked about the propane tanks and cycling them. So if you have a dual stage regulator, it's always good to go switch that little valve from one side to the other.
And propane tanks too have an expiration date.
They do.
Probably most people don't have an RV over 10 years old because most don't last that long, but I shouldn't say that.
We don't sell coaches, so we're, you know, trying to be here to help maintain what you have.
Right.
So we preach a lot about, you know, maintenance and inspections and stuff. And that's kind of like this list for me. This is stuff that I do on my own unit if I'm going to go out on a trip, mm-hmm. you know. And some things we just learn as we go, or the neighbor tells us. And wow, why didn't I think of that sooner?
Yeah.
Some other, you know, oddball things. Again, it depends on if it's a motorized or a towable unit. Let's say towable, for example, right? If it's a fifth wheel or travel trailer and it's been sitting through that winter time and you're getting ready to go camping with it, you know, think about the bearings just sitting there, the grease, the tire pressure. You know, it's a good idea to, you know, whether let's say you have it at your home versus you have it at a storage yard, right? So if you have it at a storage yard, you're going to go pick it up. You're going to connect everything. You're going to make sure your lights are working and you're going to check your brakes before you go, or you're going to find out on the way home. Something's not working,
right? Step on the brake pedal and say the words your mom told you not to say.
Exactly. Say you are at home. You know, a lot of us keep it on our properties and whatnot. So before you just saddle up and get ready to go, hook that up, go drive it down the road or the freeway 2 or 3 miles and, you know, make sure everything's functioning and that whether it's a fifth wheel or a travel trailer, that there's no problems with like your weight distribution hitch or your actual fifth wheel hitch. You know, check your 7-way cords, walk around and do your light check. And we call it a brake check too. You know, go ahead and have somebody outside there slowly following you along and pull that emergency brake cable and, hey, did it actually, you know, lock you up and stop you a little bit? That's a
good point. And that runs on battery power too.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've even seen that too, Tony. People will come in and you know, they've been parked over the winter and, hey, my brakes aren't working. The truck is supplying 12 volt to the trailer, but if the batteries are bad, you know, that battery is trying to get charged first before it's sending that power or enough power back through that system. Right. I mean, it's kind of a twofold, but it can give it a weak breaks versus not the full power.
Interesting. I had never thought of that.
Same thing with the tires. You know, obviously go out, check the condition of your tires, learn how to read the date code on the tires. You can Google that and go online, you know, check out the tire pressure, check out the age of the tire. Is the tire safe? Is there any weird wear and tear marks on it or bubbles on it? If you don't have, or you do have tire sensors, something that gets overchecked too is the batteries in those sensors. Mm. So whether you have like a tire minder or you have a tire links, you know, by Lippert, check and make sure that those batteries are working, that the transponders are receiving the signals for those. Some of those are dual purpose as well. Some of them tell you the temperature of the tire,
right,
as well as the air pressure, where some of them don't.
The thing you said about checking the date, it's important to remember that some tires are just, they just age out. Even if you don't use them very often, they are going to need replacing, even if you've driven 200 miles, if it's been 5 years or whatever.
A basketball joke for the basketball guys. Pretend your grandkids came over, hey, Grandpa, you got a basketball? And you have one in the garage. It's been sitting there for 20 years. Out of air. It's flat on one side. You go to air it up and it just doesn't bounce the same, right?
Yeah. So
the tire is the same way. You know, if it's parked too long and not being moved, you know, those belts can develop weird little flat spots in them.
Right.
Cause issues as well.
That's a good analogy.
Same thing with like the braking system. You know, make sure that everything on that coach, that you learn about the maintenance.
And I think that's something that might surprise new RV owners is, you know, you get a Honda or Toyota or whatever, and it's, you know, once every 10 years you change the oil. I mean, not quite, obviously, but they're so bulletproof. And RVs are not. And there's all this maintenance that is required to keep them running properly, especially regarding seals and leaks and that sort of stuff. But yeah, all the things you mentioned are really good points. If somebody's looking to get more information or follow you, where would they do that?
So if you'd like to visit our website, it's CaliforniaRVSpecialist.com. We use that kind of to help us all out.
Sure.
Well, Dustin, we really appreciate your being here. I'm going to let you get.
Thank you so much for spending some more time with us. And we definitely have some ideas of things that we would like you to tell the rest of our listeners in future episodes.
You're welcome. You guys have a good one.
You too.
Traveling with your RV is the best way to get around.
Yeah, but you want to do it safely, so using your phone's GPS can lead you down some potentially dangerous places.
For sure. That's why we love RV Trip Wizard, part of the RV Life Suite, which lets you plan your journeys before you go, and then use the RV Life app on your phone or tablet to safely navigate your journey.
Yeah, you can set parameters such as how far you like to travel in a day, how many miles you can go between fuel stops, and even read reviews of campgrounds. It also takes into account the size of your RV and more.
Then you can rest assured that your phone isn't going to lead you into trouble.
If you have an RV, you need RV Trip Wizard. And we have a great deal for you, 25% off your annual subscription.
Check it out on your discounts and deals page on stresslesscamping.com, where you can listen to our interview with RV Life and learn about the whole RV Life suite and save your RV while you save on an RV Life subscription.
Now that's stressless camping.
Hey, let's go not very far away again.
Yeah, somewhere that we've been before.
We can't seem to stop talking about Hamez Mountains.
Okay, I hope all of you are sitting down. Like, if you're out there mowing your lawn or if you're water skiing or whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to hear this without sitting down.
We actually enjoyed a hike. For all the things that we do when we RV, hiking is not often something that we talk about.
No.
But we did this.
And I want to say, we really should call it a walk.
True.
Not a hike. Because hike to me means like you're on a little path going up a mountainside somewhere. And I'm sure, you know, I know that's not really true. But I mean, we were on a paved road. Like a paved road that cars can drive on.
Right. So what we're going on about is the Gilman Tunnels up in the Hamez Mountains of New Mexico. And we talked about the Vista Linda campground last week. And I finally got around to editing and posting our video of the Gilman tunnels. And it was one of those things that, I mean, you can e-bike up there, you can bike up there, you can walk. It's truly exceptionally beautiful.
And in season, you can drive.
Yeah, you could even drive this road depending on when you're going. Boy, is it pretty. I mean, it's just, oh, it's beautiful. So check out the video. It's on the same story as the one Peggy wrote about the Vista Linda campground. By the way, we have talked before about campgrounds that we write reviews of and such. And if you look at stresslesscamping.com, there is a map right on the homepage of the campgrounds that we have written stories about. So you can click on that and just go see the cool places that we've been.
Either been or interviewed, because there are some up in New England that we haven't been to yet.
We will. Watch out, New England. We're coming for you. So anyway, that's a quick way to find the campgrounds that we have written stories about at stresslesscamping.com.
So let's go back to quartzite. I mean, not really. We're not going to talk much about quartzite, but, you know, I do like to share recipes. And while we were in quartzite at the meetup, we had several potlucks, and I got some great recipes and some great friends that were willing to share with us. And so this week's recipe of the week is actually another one from Ingle. He gave me his frittata recipe, and he calls it any way you like it frittata, because really you can add, you know, after you get the eggs and the dairy in there, everything else is kind of a free-for-all. So whatever vegetables you have, whatever meat you'd like to put in it, whatever flavor cheese you like.
Bacon.
Doesn't matter what you put in it, but he made a frittata for us during one of the potlucks, and there's a little bit of talk of him visiting us later this spring, and he said if he comes, he'll make us a frittata.
Woo-hoo!
That'll be our payment for him boondocking in our yard.
Absolutely. That was really good. It's in some ways is a little bit similar to our quiche that we used to make.
Yes.
The Featherbed Railroad.
It's just a little bit different recipe. You know, when we had the bed and breakfast, I actually had two cookbooks that were all quiche recipes. So there were like, I don't know, 100 quiche recipes. Now, granted, some of them were exactly the same recipe with a different vegetable put in, but also the way that you make your custard can vary so very much. And
it's very, very,
very varied much. You know, I had found a couple of different ways that we like to make it. And this is a different custard part. The egg part, Ingle's ways, a little bit different from ours.
Yeah, but it sure was good.
It sure was good.
And he baked it in his RV's oven.
He certainly did.
His vintage Airstream.
Right.
So with Dustin, we talked about getting your camper ready for the camping season. And part of that is going to be if you have one of the particularly suburban water heaters that has electric and propane, you're going to have to put in your anode rod.
Yeah. Right?
And of course, you know, you're going to inspect it, make sure that there's some of the material left, and then put in the anode rod. And what I've found, I use the Air Gear Tire Changing Kit torque wrench to do this. And so I put the torque up at, I think it was 40 pounds.
Okay.
And zipped that thing. I have in the past said many unkind things about that anode rod. And this has really made it easy to install the doggone thing. That's just another use for the Air Gear Tire Changing Kit. Now, speaking of that, if you don't know, you may not be able to change the tires on your travel trailer. And this Air Gear Tire Changing Kit has really come in handy. It's got a torque wrench and a safety vest and a number of other pieces to make sure you can change the tire in your travel trailer.
Right. And we have luckily not had to do that on the side of a road anywhere, but we are prepared to do so. But that tire changing kit, as Tony said, comes with a torque wrench. You can use a torque wrench for a lot of things.
Well, for example, when we put in the B&W Continuum hitch,
yes,
it said torque all the bolts to 40 pound foot of torque. Well, I had my torque wrench and I did. And so there's a lot of reasons why I like this thing. And it's also big enough that it has good leverage, but it's not so big that it's like hey, can you help me lift this thing?
Yeah. And leverage is good when you're trying to work with an anode rod, because it's kind of, especially when they're new, they're heavy on the far end. And it's hard to keep them lifted in the right position to get them to thread into the spot. And also, by the way, using a torque wrench is a really good idea, because we had someone change our anode rod one time and it was in there so tight. I didn't know if we were ever going to get it out.
Yeah, it took some doing to get it back out. And they had just put it. It wasn't like it had rusted in place.
No.
They had just put it in the day before, and I'm like, nah, I should probably take the water out of the water heater because it's winter. Man, it was, there's no reason, it just needs to be tight enough not to leak.
Right.
And another little trick, I shove a paper towel in the socket when I put in the anode rod to kind of hold it. So that, there's your little extra tip.
Oh, extra tip. But
yeah, that air gear tire changing kit is good for a lot of things, including changing tires.
Imagine that. Do you have an RV to share with us this week?
I'm going to pick something that was really strange that I saw at RV Open House.
Okay.
And our buddy Josh just did a video of it. And I'm like, hey, I have a review I could write of this thing since I saw it there. It's the Ibex RV Suite. I had in the past written about the Cherokee Timberwolf 16ml, which is like, they call it a lodge, mobile lodge. And that's sort of what this thing is. It's very square, right? I mean, travel trailers are square. This thing is like extra square.
Like never even worn their hair too long square?
Not like that. But it is very square. And it's interesting. It has a really nice bathroom. It's all electric. There is no propane on board whatsoever. So everything runs on electricity, which is good and bad, right? I mean, well, the idea of this thing is to take it somewhere and leave it rather than it being a trailer per se, although, you know, it is a trailer because it's got wheels.
A little bit more of a, maybe a seasonal site or something.
Yeah, seasonal site, or if you have a nice piece of property and you're allowed to leave an RV there.
With full hookup.
Right, with full 50 amp service, because you're not, you know, this is definitely not an off-the-grid thing. But it was kind of neat because the way they did the bedroom, there's a Murphy bed. And then when the bed is up, it's a big space. They made a really unusual couch in this thing that you can reconfigure to be like a day bed or a couch or a pterodactyl. Oh, no, not a pterodactyl. A really big bathroom, and had a washer-dryer in it. It's designed to be like a little vacation home. It's just interesting to see the direction that some RV makers are going, building stuff like this. So we'll put a link in the show notes to the review, which will be at stresslesscamping.com under Honest RV Reviews.
Somehow I got it in my head that suite was going to be like a two bedroom, but I guess a suite really is like the bedroom is separate from the living space.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's just a name. Because the bedroom isn't really even a bedroom. It's like a big space. Oh, and it has a nifty back porch, too.
Oh.
But, yeah, I don't know about the word suite. You know, it's like, whatever. It's just a name.
Okay.
Like Fladiddle Honder.
Right.
That's a name.
That is a name, all right.
Yeah.
Good thing we never had children.
Oh, man. Hey, Fladiddle Honder, come here.
Last week's question of the week was, what is the best mod you've made to your RV? And we had some great answers. I love learning about mods, because I either say, oh, I'm glad we can live without that, or I say, ooh, let's do that.
Yeah.
So Bill said the best mod, he said that's easy, my solar lithium upgrade from ABC Upfitters. But the best mod that he did was to add shelves to the cabinets on the sides of the bed.
I like Ingle's answer, because he said the best mod was not replacing existing systems on his 1965 Airstream. That was pretty
cool.
That
is good. But there is something that Ingle did do.
Ingle did put in a Zamp solar port, solar suitcase, and Victron wireless shunt to monitor it all from his phone.
You got that. You
know, two thumbs up.
Yeah. Eric said he hasn't done much, but it's a three-way tie between the LevelMate Pro, a TV in the bedroom, because it loves to rain when they're camping, and modifying the shelf under the sink so the trash can live there.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
A new mattress, man. Those are
Kathy, yeah.
Yeah, we did that in our trailer too. We have a ghost bed, And we liked that doggone ghost bed so much, we wanted to put one in our house, but they didn't make one that was a split queen at the time. So we got another mattress that we're not as happy with.
I know.
Sleep better in the doggone trailer.
We do.
And, oh, she has those Mopeka propane sensors.
Right.
Also a Levelmate Pro.
Levelmate Pro, and she added curtains to the slide windows. So Kathy's done a few good things. Real Trailer Life added a Halo 3 camera system.
Mm-hmm. Mark took out his dinette and put in recliners. We took out our theater seats and put in an office.
Well, we didn't put in an office so much as we have chairs and tables to work as an office.
True.
We didn't really install anything. Sandy says her best mod is coming up next month.
Yeah, I know what that's going to be. I think she's visiting our friends in Elkhart.
Oh, ABC Upfitters,
yep.
Maybe?
Yep.
All right. Cedar also said solar panels and lithium batteries.
I'm going to go back to when we were at Vista Linda, and all three of us had really good solar and lithium systems.
Yeah, we camped off grid for 4 days, all of us.
What you can do nowadays with those systems is just, it's incredible. It has changed the face of how we choose to camp.
Kirsten has a little tab teardrop with twin beds. And she said her best mod was putting dimmable lights over the bed because the only other way to get light was to plug in over the kitchen sink. Daniel and Jennifer put in a residential refrigerator.
It's funny because I'm seeing more and more people now looking at the 12-volt refrigerators.
I would prefer a 12-volt over a residential.
Right. Yeah, me too also.
For several reasons. Thomas got electrical freedom by adding solar, lithium, and DC to DC. Now they camp anywhere.
And Brenda got a washer and dryer. That would be something we would like, but we just don't have the space for it.
Right.
Though we do have a portable washing machine that we never bring with us.
Brian has three good categories. For best was tripling the solar capacity. For the latest favorite was the Moride door latch extender, and his previous favorite was the shower geyser.
Oh, hey, I know what next week's gadget's going
to
be.
Yeah, something we haven't remembered to write down on this list.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Larry also got a Camp Queen Costco mattress. So mattress upgrades seem to be one of the more common answers to this question.
You know, if I were the king of the RV industry, I would ship RVs with zero mattress because it's such a personal decision, right?
Yeah.
But then you'd have a mattress store in an RV dealership.
Right.
And I wonder how well that would go.
Well, think about the dealership you worked at. It was tiny. There was no way you were going to have a mattress store there.
That's for sure. Our office was one of those mobile office.
Yeah, the trailer.
It was a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, we sold trailers, so might as well.
That made sense.
Yeah.
So this week we were wondering, do you have a quote-unquote season opener checklist?
Checklists make for stressless camping.
You know, all those things that Dustin told us we should be doing or should be on your sort of maybe your annual maintenance list or your periodic maintenance list or wherever it belongs. If you don't already have checklists, you know, you can find them at stresslesscamping.com.
Absolutely. We'll put a link in the show notes. I think that's going to be my new name. Hi, I'm Link in the show notes. Hi, I'm Lincoln. The show notes.
You know that you can answer the question of the week, read the answers, and, you know, post your own things. It doesn't have to only be questions of the week.
No.
If you're going camping, if you do a mod, if you have a question, post it in Stressless Campers Facebook group.
Yeah, it's pretty fun and pretty friendly there.
Indeed.
So we don't get the harsh comments. Well, and if we do, they're just going to go, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Did you know we also did a once-a-week newsletter that's totally, absolutely, completely, and without a doubt, free?
We have links to stories and videos and podcasts and things that we think that will help you get the most of your RV experience.
Yeah, if you'd like to sign up, just visit our website and you can sign up and know that we would never share your information. We only send one email a week.
Because that's all we have time for.
Yeah, pretty much. Right, we don't have time to write a bunch of spam. Although, I'd like to make time to eat spam.
Eat some spam. You know that you can find the show notes for this episode, which is 245, on the podcast page at stresslesscamping.com.
That's also where you'll find our discounts and deals for the best deals on the things you'll need on your stressless camping adventure.
You know, we kind of are starting to make changes on that every week. So if you've looked at it before, you might want to look at it again.
Yeah, truly. Of course, we are in all the social places, including Facebook that crashed today. You can start at stresslesscamping.com and then jump off to all the social places you like to be.
And if Facebook is crashed, then just go ahead and stay on the website for a while longer. It'll come back.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? Or you could go over to TikTok. We've been putting videos there.
There you go.
We can waste all the time you're willing to share with
us. Indeed. If you don't want to miss a future episode of the Stressless Camping Podcast,
it's free.
It's free to subscribe on any podcast catcher, and we are saving you a seat around our virtual campfire.
And a review will help others find this podcast. And, you know, the more people who listen to it, the better the guests and the bigger the discounts, that sort of stuff. In fact, we got a review this week from RVing Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
And he said the bee's knees of a podcast. Aww. I think I know which episode he listened to. But thanks again for another informative and entertaining podcast. I learned a lot about bees. I will give the respect they deserve. Hardworking little buggers.
Yeah. They surely are.
Yeah.
So hopefully Ed will also share that with his friends so that they all can learn about bees. And hopefully you will share anything that you find on our website or on our social posts that you like. Go ahead and give it a share and tell your friends.
Yep, absolutely. Sharing is caring. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Again, we really appreciate your letting us into your lives for an hour or so a week. We hope you're already planning some great epic camping adventures. Maybe yes. Our paths will cross this Hopefully. Year. And most of all,
stressless camping.
We hope you learned a lot and had some fun and got some tips for your next stressless camping adventure. We're honored by your reviews on Apple Podcasts, which helps others find us too. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss out on the adventure. And we look forward to your joining us next week. Until then, happy camping.
Hi, I'm Lincoln. The show notes.